And when we look and think about the world, the whole world, we realize that every second, every moment of the day, our God is being praised and our God is being thanked because he is who he is. My name is Fakir and I'm a member here at Little Hill Church, and it's our pastor Joshua is on holiday this week, so I'm a substitute for another guy. So we're going to be looking at God's Word together. As we start the service, if you've got a Bible, please turn to Psalm 24, so we can, it's projected as well. And we're going to look at that psalm as we begin the service this morning. A psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And we're going to sing our first hymn. And it is, the Lord is King. Lift up your voice, O earth, and all you heavens rejoice. From world to world the joy shall ring. The Lord omnipotent is King. Let's stand and sing this together to God's praise.
Amen.
come to this God in prayer. Lord, how privileged we are to be able to meet together and acknowledge the Lord is King. We want to bring you praise, want to bring you glory, we want to exalt you, we want to thank you, we want to lift you high, because you are unique in your being. There is no one like you. You're the one who created the whole of the universe, and you continue to rule the whole of the universe by your word of power. There is no one like you in power, in ability, in strength. You indeed are the Almighty God. We realize that you made the world, and we also realize it's not the world you intended to be. We realize that sin came into the world and spoiled it, and we are facing the consequences of that disobedience, which happened so many thousands of years ago through Adam and Eve. And we realize that sin creates a barrier between ourselves and yourself. It created a barrier for Adam and Eve and between yourselves. And Lord, we ask that you will help us this morning to worship you, because we want to come to you through the only name which breaks that barrier down, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that by his death, he smashed that barrier, that we are able to enter your gates with praise and thanksgiving. We want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his continuing presence within the church by his Spirit. We thank you that he's the one who walks around the churches and encouraging and challenging and changing people's lives. We ask, O God, that we might see and sense the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us this morning, that he might be with us and rebuking us, encouraging us and helping us, and also guiding us in our lives. We ask that he might be with us. We also ask for the work of the Holy Spirit in helping us to understand your word. We realize that by human mind, these things in the scripture, they cannot be understood. But we want to thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, who is able to enlighten your word, apply to our hearts, and speaks to us in a very clear way. And we ask that you will be with us. So, Lord, we ask your help. We ask that you will accept our praise. We ask that you will lead us throughout this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Trevor, children's talk, please.
Right, boys and girls, now, can you remember who is the man that we've been having stories about? It was Elijah? Elijah. And Elijah had told King Ahab there wouldn't be rain, God would not send any rain on the land. And there wasn't. But our stories the last few weeks of how God looked after Elijah. But then, as time went on and there was no rain, eventually Elijah met the king, King Ahab again. And as soon as King Ahab saw him, you know what he said to Elijah? He said, "You troublemaker! You brought all these problems on the land." And Elijah said, "No, you're the troublemaker, because you've encouraged people to worship other gods." Well, Elijah told the king what to happen. He had to get all the prophets of Baal and all the people to come to Mount Carmel on a particular day. And so they all gathered there. And when the people were all there and all the other prophets, there was 450 prophets of Baal and only Elijah for the Lord God. Elijah said, right, we'll see who is the real God in Israel. Who's the true God? All those prophets, they can build an altar. I'll build an altar. And we'll see which God sends down fire. Will it be Baal? Will it be the true God? And all the people said, yeah, that's a fair competition. So it started off with the prophets of Baal. And they got loads of big stones and they started making an altar. They'd piled all these stones up. On top of it, they started to put a load of wood. Lots of wood to make a right big pile. Like that. Let's put some more wood on. And a bit more wood. There we are. So they've got the stones and then the wood on top. And when they've done that, the prophets of Baal then put on some meat as a sacrifice, as a gift to their God. So they put the meat on the top. And then they started calling upon their god, Baal, to come and send fire down. Nothing happened. So they started shouting. And they started shouting and dancing round and screaming. Nothing happened. And this went on, not just for 5 minutes. For hours they were dancing around and shouting and screaming and nothing happened. Well, eventually, after this had gone on for hours and hours, Elijah said to them, maybe your God's gone on a journey. Or maybe he's busy. Maybe he's fast asleep. You'd better shout louder to wake him up. So they did, they shouted louder and they screamed louder and so on. And it went on and on nearly all day. Nothing happened. So about tea time, Elijah said, right, my turn. So he built another altar like this, but he had 12 stones, one for each tribe. Put wood on. He put the meat on the top. But when he'd done that, Elijah did something else. He started digging. And he got a shovel and he started digging a big hole round the bottom, out the way round. And then he told them to go and get 4 jugs of water. And they poured the water over the top. And when they'd done that, they said, get 4 more jugs. And then 4 more. And altogether, there was 12 jugs of water that they poured over it all. And there was so much water in this trench at the bottom, it was full of water. When all that had happened, Elijah prayed. He prayed to God and he said, Lord God, show that you're the God in Israel and that there's no other gods. And as soon as he'd finished praying, What do you think happened? Who's going to make a guess? I'm looking at Zach. Is Zach going to make a guess? No. Is Theo going to make a guess? I wonder what these are, Theo. Fire. Fire, exactly. As soon as Elijah finished praying, suddenly, whoosh, fire came down. Fire came down from heaven. And the fire was so strong, it burnt up not just the meat, not just the wood. It even burnt the stones. All the water evaporated. There was nothing left. God showed that he was the God of Israel. Well, when that had happened, Elijah went over to the king and he said, I can hear something. I can hear rain coming. You'd better go back to your city, back to your palace. And Elijah sent his servant. He said, go over there and look out over the sea and tell me if there's any cloud. Well, the servant went. Can't see anything. So he went again and came. Seven times he went. And eventually he came back and he said, I can see a tiny little cloud about the size of my hand. And Elijah said, run. Because you know what happened? The sky went black with clouds and it rained. It poured down because God was showing that he was the God in Israel and that there was no other gods. Now, our great big God, we've got a song to sing about this God. And let's have the words up if we can, please. We get some words. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do.
Thank you, Trevor, and what a children's talk. It's not just a children's talk. That's what happened and we recorded in the Bible. So it's not what Trevor's made up. It's an historical account what happened in the time of Elijah. And it does remind us how good our God is. We had a lovely wedding on Friday. And it was a glorious day. We are thankful to God for such an occasion and such a wonderful occasion. So we praise and thank God and passing our congratulations to John and Ruth and the whole of the Eardley family, as well as Joanna's family, Aline and Betty, I think, and the rest of the family in Romania too. So we are thankful to God and passing our congratulations, wishing James and Joanna a long married life together as they serve the Lord here. So we remember them. Then this afternoon at 5:30, we have our service, and that'll be led, preacher will be David Green, and it's at 5:30. Could I encourage you to zoom in at the right time and hear what David is saying from the Word of God. Find it interesting because we are, as you know, we've been looking at Exodus. Josh been doing Exodus. And when Dave Green sent a message about his Bible reading, it was Exodus as well, just a couple of chapters ahead. So we're looking forward to a message from Exodus 34 this afternoon. So do pray for David as well. Then on Thursday, we have midweek Bible study, quarter past seven. And will you please tune in? We're looking at the apostles of Jesus. So this we'll be looking at Philip. So then at quarter past eight, there'll be prayer time together. And then we have our Sunday services next week. John Eardley will be speaking in the morning and David Green in the afternoon. So do pray for these men too. Let's all come to God in prayer. Our loving God, we already acknowledge you that you're the sovereign God and there's nothing that happens which is not in your will and not in your control. And we realize that you are the Almighty God. We thank you for Friday. We thank you for the joyful occasion when we are able to join the two families and able to witness the wedding of Joanna and James. And we thank you for them, Lord. We thank you that they're both believers. They trust you, not just now, but they have trusted you in the past and continue to trust you now. We commit them into your hands. We ask you to bless their life together. May they grow in love for one another and also in love for yourself. And we ask you continue to be with them and we commit them to you. We pray, Father, for indeed the gift of marriage which you've given to us. We don't take it for granted. We realize it is your design and that man should not be on his own. But we do commit our wives and our children and our husbands to you. We ask you will bless them and we thank you for them. And we ask that we might continue to be an example of your love for the church. And we commit our lives into your hands. We pray, Father, for this coming week. We pray that you will be with those who are on holiday. They'll be able to have a relaxing time. We pray particularly for Josh. We ask that he and his family will be refreshed. They'll be able to return and serve you. We commit them into your care. And we commit the whole church into your care. We realize there are many who are not well. There are many who have been affected by this COVID. And also there are many who have been affected by other ailments. We ask, Lord, that you will have your healing hand upon them and do touch their lives by your presence and by your hand. We ask for those who been ill for a long while and not well. And we ask for the carers, we ask that you will strengthen them. They might be encouraged and be prepared by you. We thank you for all that they do in looking after their family members. We commit them into your care. So Lord, we ask now that you continue to be with us and help us as we worship you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have our next hymn, which is "I Saw a New Vision of Jesus, a View I Had Not Seen Before, Beholding in Glory So Wondrous, with Beauty I Had to Adore." Let's stand and sing as we come together.
I saw a new vision.
If you have a Bible, please, will you turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to read the first 8 verses, verses 1 to 8, Psalm 119. Aleph. Blessed are those whose ways is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Also who do no wrong, what walk in his ways. You have commanded your precept to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. We're going to be looking at those few verses together, or first three or four verses together. Before we do that, let's come to God in prayer. Our gracious God, we ask again for your help. We ask you will open our eyes to your truth. Help us to understand it more importantly also, that we might learn from it, that we might apply it into all of our lives. Again, we ask you, forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and help us to focus our thoughts and minds on you and on your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at Psalm 119, and you'll be very glad to know that we're not going to be looking at the whole of the psalm. It's the longest psalm, but it's been used by God to encourage everyone to trust in him and trust in his living word. And the word of God here, this psalm also challenged all Christian believers to something very special, that is to holy living, so that we are encouraged to do that as we read this word. One of the great men, and Matthew Henry says this, his advice was this, to encouraging believers to engage with the scripture was to do this. And he said, take one verse of this psalm every morning. Read it, meditate upon it, and you go over and over again in your mind. And so over the year, you will have read this psalm twice, and you would have been able to meditate on what God got to say. That was his encouragement to Christian believers. And when I was reading this, I thought, it's a challenge, isn't it? That to read just one verse and think about it, and it might be possible also to learn, and what a thing it would be to remember Psalm 119. So if you want a lockdown project, meditate on God's word, read Psalm 119, perhaps verse at a time. So what is the theme of this psalm? Well, the psalm is concerned with the scriptures. It's concerned with the word of God. As you know, the scripture's always been under attack, and indeed continues to be under attack even today. And we, as a church, truly believe the scriptures are God-breathed. And they've been inspired by God, so the whole of the scriptures are unalterable. This is what God had given to us to learn from him and of him. And the scriptures, particularly this psalm, when we look at it, it's got 176 verses. And they are divided into 22 sections. And each section is 8 verses long. And here's an amazing thing what I read, that the division corresponds with the letter of Hebrew alphabet. And each section begins with the same letter of the alphabet. So if you were to look at it in English, you would say the first 8 verses relate to A, begin with A, and second 8, verse 9 to 16 would be begin with the letter B, and so on. And that's how it goes. So there are, God has inspired these words for us. So we can look at God's word here. And what we're going to be doing is looking at the first 8 verses of this psalm. And the psalm is concerned about providing us all, each one of us, the secret to happiness. Secret to having happiness. As a nation, we are continuing to go through a very difficult times. And many people have lost their loved ones over the last 12, 18 months, 2 years, and they're grieving their loss. Many families, mums, dads, fathers and children are really feeling the pain at this time. For some, long COVID, loss of employment, mental and physical health issue, unable to meet the family and friends, have taken a long toll. And they've been robbed of the little happiness they had. Losing at the Wembley Cup final was another blow, wasn't it, for some of them? But there we are. So there are a lot of people who've been affected by this. And what the Bible got to say to us, what does the scripture says to us, what Psalm 119 says to us. But look at verse 1. it talks about the blameless lifestyle. He said, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. And the scripture here, and indeed in other places, use the word blessed, which encompasses happiness, joy, and joy which is not disturbed by what's going around you. It's not disturbed by your circumstances. The Lord Jesus uses the word blessed, did he not? Particularly when he was preaching and speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. For instance, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, and those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger, and those who thirst for righteousness. He also said, blessed are those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, and those who are peacemakers, and those who are being persecuted. Can a person really be blessed when you are ill, when you are persecuted, when you are in your mourning? But Jesus said, yes, it's possible. And this psalm talks about being blessed. And he said, the soul in here, the Psalm 119, he said, this tells us that the true source of being happy, be full of joy, is to have a blameless lifestyle. So who can say they have a blameless lifestyle? Well, we live in times where the word of God is not read, is not believed, and is not practiced. Just study the moral values and exemplified by our leaders in every areas of our lives. It is not just the media, it's not just the politician. It is as a country as a whole. Our lifestyle is very much matching Romans chapter 1. And it's a real sad occasion for all of us. But I do not feel it's necessary for us and for me to be preaching on the sin listed in Romans chapter 1. We can read all about it. We can examine our hearts on it. But that is not what we want to do this morning. Because we realize that all sin, whatever shape or form, is abhorrent to God. And because God is holy. And what we read in verse 1 is that we need to have a lifestyle which is directed by God's word, directed by him. The psalmist uses 10 different words to refer to the scriptures. And each word has its own emphasis on the different aspect of the scriptures. The first word we find, it is God's law, which we read in verse 1. It's an important word because it occurs 20 times between verse 1 of Psalm 119 and verse 174. And after that, it's not used. It's not used by the psalmist at all. As it is God's law, it's God's law means that it will supersede any man-made law, which means it's above the law passed by any government, any politician, anywhere in the world. It's applicable to each person, each human being, because it is God's law, because God has given to us. Do you know, when we left the EU, for various reasons, I'm not going to go over the debate, why we left the EU, why we are where we are now, but we could get rid of, and will get rid of, some of the EU laws. So we'll have our own laws to follow. But you cannot get rid of God's law. It doesn't matter which country you move to. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter where you're going. God's law is relevant and applicable to each one of us every time. We need each one of us to observe God's law. These laws are made by the sovereign God and are to be obeyed by every human being on earth. And the sad thing is that each one of us have failed to keep God's law, have failed to keep what God wanted us to do and what God want our lifestyle to be. But you know, the wonderful thing is, God has provided for us a Savior in the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we trust in Him, God, the Lord Jesus, has fulfilled all the law. He has kept the laws on your behalf, on my behalf, on those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can see it's being fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for us as a believers also, to be truly blessed, we as Christian people have our thinking and our lifestyle molded by the Scripture, molded by God's Word. When I was preparing this a few days ago, and I had been listening to Radio 4, and it was a program about positive thinking. What they were saying was, look, as long as you're positive, everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be wonderful, and you're going to get through all your situation and all your circumstances. That was the beginning of the program. By the end of the program, they changed their mind. They said, you can have positive thinking, but when reality hits you, it hits you even harder because it did not meet your expectation. So it was disappointing. But what we have here, to have a really positive lifestyle, and that is to be living according to God's word. So that's the first thing to do. And second thing is to do is this, that we are need to be continually seeking God. Look at verse 2. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their hearts. Who keep his statutes. To be truly blessed, we are again asked to keep God's statutes. This term statute occurs 20 times in this psalm. And its statue is something which is engraved, which is written by God. We are to keep God's law as prescribed by him. As you know, we've been studying Exodus and including the Ten Commandments. The law of God was written by God himself. You look at the scripture and it's been pointed to us. It's God's handiwork. This is God's writing. This is God what's left for us. And this is what the psalmist is talking about when he says God's statue, God's written word for us. So we're not free to alter it. We're not free to change it. We're not to subtract anything from it. And there's a great judgment upon those who try and do alter God's word and his teaching. Remember, the Lord Jesus in Revelation 22, verse 18 to 19 says this, I warn everyone who hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him the share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. Here's a warning then regarding messing around with God's word, God's statue. There are people who do not accept the creation account as in Genesis, while others do not believe that Jesus had the miraculous power of healing and feeding so many people with the lunch of a boy's lunch, picnic lunch. And many people, sadly called Christian, do not accept that Jesus is coming again by not accepting the scriptural account of events which happened, and those that are expected, they are denying that our God is supernatural. They're denying who God is and his power. They limit him to human abilities and human understanding. But we have a great God. He's almighty. He's powerful. He's great God. We've been reminded in our children's chorus this morning that we have a great big God. And let's keep God's word as written down for us. As well as keeping God's word, we're told in that verse, they seek him with all their hearts. We are to seek God continually and wholeheartedly. Isn't that a challenge to us? We cannot fool God by being half-hearted. He knows our actions. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. We all have the potential, each one of us, to put on a church mask. I know you're wearing masks this morning. I'm not talking about that sort of mask. But we can have a mask where we appear to be spiritually healthy under pleasant circumstances. But the reality can be very different in our own hearts, in our own lives. But God requires from each one of us not half-heartedness, but to being single-minded. Remember what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. You're very familiar with the story. He came to Jesus and wanted to know how he can be spiritually satisfied. He said he kept all the religious requirements. He kept all the commandments of the Jewish faith. He knew that he was not right with God. Well, this is what Jesus said to him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This was the message for the rich young ruler. This is the message for us, is it not? That we are to seek him with all of our hearts, all of our soul, and with all our minds. So what it tells me is that people can keep and have an outward appearance and not really loving God with their hearts and with their minds. And we can apply it to us. We can learn from it, can't we? We can attend church meeting. We can be at the worship meeting. We can meet at Zoom. But have we that great love for God himself, not just the activities surrounding him? We are to seek with all of our hearts. So if you're not a Christian, it means you have not trusted, you have not sought God with all of your heart. Why not seek him with all your being? And God's word tell us that you will find him. Jeremiah 29 verse 12 to 13 says this, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. You might have been listening to God's word for a long time. And I commend you for that. I commend you for coming to church. I commend you for hearing God's word, either online or also being present with us this morning. But have you sought the Lord your God with all your heart? You might have read a book or two about the Christian faith. You might have done a course about the Christian faith. You might have done Christianity Explained. However, have you consciously sought the Lord your God? Message to Jeremiah was, there is need to pray. He said, pray. It's the same message to us this morning. Pray to God. Confess your sin. Turn to him. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And please do it wholeheartedly. You've got to do it with your soul, with your mind, with the whole of your being. And God will answer that prayer. You will find him. You will know him. You will get to know him. And we are, as Christian believers, we are too asked to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. Where does our loyalty lies? Does it lie with the denomination? Does it lie with the church? Does it lie with the tradition? Does it lie with the loyal to others? or does it lie rather to God, His word, His promises, to God Himself? We are all to examine our inner being, inner self, and to do what is necessary in order to put things right. So we are to seek God, His statue, and seek Him wholeheartedly. And that's a challenge to me. I hope it's a challenge to all of us. And the third thing we are asked to do is to longing for pure hearts, longing for the purity of hearts. Look at verse 3. It says, blessed are those, they do nothing wrong. They walk His ways. What does this mean? Does it mean that people who are close to God, they do not sin? As they do nothing wrong before God, that cannot be true. We know that within our own hearts, that none of us are sinless, and those who preach such doctrines are not thoroughly biblical. I think the psalmist means that sin does not rule over a person's life. That is another primary thing, how a person does things. Paul's writing to the Romans says this, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but grace. So sin will not have dominion. It doesn't overrule, it doesn't direct, it doesn't dictate your life. It means that sin is not the driving force in the life of a Christian believer. A Christian has the Holy Spirit living in them. Sadly, and realistically, we do fall into sin. But God has provided for us a means of returning to Him, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great promise God has given to us. However, although we are prone to sin, but we long to be set free from this awful disease of sin. You know, we're talking about COVID-19, we're talking about different variation, but the whole world's been affected and infected by sin. And we need to get rid of it. We need to be cleansed from that. We want to be holy as our Father is holy. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So we need to be desiring to be holy, to be get rid of our sin and sinful lifestyle, looking for pure lives. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 to 16 say this, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We need to be holy in our action, He said, because God is holy in His being and in His actions too. And He is holy in His nature. One day, we will be holy. We too shall be holy in reality. In the meantime, let not sin rule our lives. It means having a lifestyle, having a living which abhors sin, which hates sin, which casts sins away, and we don't want to be part of our lives. And instead, seeking things which are pure and good and wholesome, which are praiseworthy. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passion. Then 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says this, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to to obey Christ. See, what he's talking about is not just the actions of sinful action, but also bringing every thought captive, in other words, in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thinking needs to be controlled by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ and by God's word. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." You know, we talk about a negative, what shouldn't be there. Here's a positive thing we can think about. Think about things which are lovely and pure and commendable, things which are excellence. Let's think about those things. Let's seek to do those things. Let's put our minds and thoughts on those things. A time will come when we will be transferred to God's kingdom and we shall be changed. We shall enter a place where sin does not exist or its effect. There'll be no more temptations to sin. In the meantime, we are to pray that we be kept pure and wholesome. Perhaps we should think about Charles Wesley's hymn, which we're going to sing in a few moments' time, "Love Divine or Love Excelling." What he says is this, "Breathe, oh breathe our loving spirit, into every troubled breast, let us all in thee inherit, let us find thy promised rest. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be, end of faith at its beginning, set our hearts at liberty." What a way Charles Wesley put it, that he's praying that God will take away that love of sinning, that we need to pray in our own hearts and minds. So we are to, in concluding, we are given God's word. It's the word of God, which is everything we need for this life and the life to come. And it's we do not need a self-help book. We have, God has given us everything in his reliable word and trustworthy book. And we are, as Christian believers, to hold on to all of it from the Genesis chapter 1 right to the end of Revelation. It's God's word. It's been revealed to us and it's been given to us. And we are to do this wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. We are to believe the scriptures. We are to hate our sins. We are to seek pure heart. We are to come to him. So we are to have a blameless lifestyle. And we need to be following directive given to us by God, as in the scriptures. And finally, I would say is this. Seek after God's way and God's holiness. God wants us to be pure. We read in Psalm 24 earlier on that without holiness, no one will see God. And we need to seek God in that way. And long for a place, a time when we shall be completely holy and there be no more sin. And in the meantime, pray that God will take away this love of sinning. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, that Charles Wesley's hymn we were talking about, "Love Divine or Love Excelling." "Joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown." Please stand when the music starts. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. Lord, we come to you. We ask you will help us to trust your word. Help us to love you from our hearts wholeheartedly. And we ask you will take from our hearts that love of sinning, that you can be finish your new creation. And we pray that we might grow more and more in holiness and in love for yourself. We ask that you be with us now and make your presence known. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.